Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the last few weeks, we've been hearing Jesus teach in these parables. And today, he sort of does this parable climax where he just throws out parable, parable, parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. No, wait. The kingdom of heaven is like this. No, wait. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he presents this sort of wonderful array of ways for us to enter into the idea of what God is doing in the kingdom of heaven, what the God love life is really like. And he throws all of these out at us. And then, of course, he adds that nice weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then right at the end, he goes, have you understood all this? And I heard some of you snicker. And then they immediately go, yes. And then some of you laughed even more. How could they possibly understand all this? How quaint. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus doesn't go, yeah, right. He goes, all right, I bet you do understand it. And the good news about that is he says, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. And that right there almost sounds like Jesus kind of going off, and he kind of, every once in a while when you're reading scriptures, which you all do daily, and you'll be reading your scriptures, and all of a sudden you'll go, I have no idea what Jesus is saying right here. I'll just skip to the part where I know what's going on again. So he can, oh yes, masters and scribes of households and scribes of the kingdom in this language. But what Jesus is trying to get at here is he actually says, yeah, I bet you do understand what I'm talking about. And when you really understand what I'm talking about, you're going to be a scribe of the kingdom of God, which is to say, the scribes were sort of the experts of the scriptures, but he doesn't say you're going to become scribes like you're going to go get a job in the temple writing. You're going to be scribes for the kingdom of God. You're going to be experts in the God love life. And we snicker, we go, come on, they don't know what's going on. Well, I want to say one thing, just only one, in defense of these disciples. Jesus is using stories that wouldn't actually be all that weird to them. We hear about mustard seeds and a man going and buying a field or a pearl of great price and these things. We don't live in a place where people are going out and hiding things in fields and then buying them, or planting mustard shrubs or things like that. Most of us anyway, most of us don't live agrarian lives. There might be a couple of you that have or have some place on the weekends you go to, but most of us, you know, are Cincinnati city folk, as you know. I'm a Southern Californian, so all the parables would have to be translated to sort of like drought-resistant plants and things like that. Then I might get it in hybrid cars, and then I would understand Jesus' parables a little bit better, okay? But on one hand, he's taking stories, he's taking images, he's taking ideas that are old, and he's making them new with his new way of teaching old ways, old images, old things. He's making it new. And that's when he says, these people will be masters of old treasures and new treasures. He's saying, if you are able to grasp onto the truth of the kingdom of God, if you are able to understand the God love life in your life, you'll become an expert. You'll become, Jesus desires that you'll all become experts on this whole religious love God reality. So right there, a lot of us go, well, I'm no expert, right? You've heard many times someone say, well, I'm no saint, which is actually completely inaccurate. When the word saint was first started getting used, it meant anyone who'd been baptized and was part of this movement, this Jesus movement, this love life of God's in the church, they were saints. They were set apart for the work of God. So first of all, y'all are saints, period. Sorry how you, actually it doesn't even matter how good you act right now. Sorry to say, y'all are saints. Secondly, it is Jesus' understanding that in your sainthood, in your life set apart for love and being loved by God, that you actually will become experts in love. And I want to suggest that our biggest problem with the possibility that we would be experts is it scares us what we might find out if we dig deeper. If we dig deeper into our scriptures, I think we're scared that we might find something we don't want to find out. If we dig deeper into our prayer life, we might be afraid of what happens in the silence. Maybe we're afraid of praying because we're afraid that God won't respond. Maybe we're afraid of getting closer because we're afraid that we will be pushed away. Y'all know that I love music. I talk about music all the time. I listen to music all the time. If you ever come into the office, you'll know that I'm there because you'll hear my music playing at the end of the hall. I'm going to talk about music today. This is no different than any other day. There's a musician, a singer, and a songwriter that some of you have heard of and some of you have not. His name is Randy Newman. Randy Newman is one of my heroes. His music is so dear to my heart, I cannot describe it to you. Those of you who have seen any of the Pixar movies, the Toy Story movies, Bug's Life, he did all those songs. He did You Got a Friend in Me. He did all the scores. But for those of us who, and I've seen all of them because I have children, so I've seen those movies many, many, many times. And I play him, and my daughter goes, that's the Toy Story guy. But for those of us who don't just listen to Pixar soundtracks and don't have young children, you know, ruining our lives with these movies day in and day out, he's written songs. He's been around since the early 70s. He's a great songwriter. He wrote I Love L.A. as one of his famous songs, super sarcastic song that Los Angelinos have unironically taken on as their own. And then and he wrote a famous song. His most famous song was probably Short People that he wrote back in the 70s. I'm a big fan of that song as a short person. I think it's great. But he's a guy that I don't just like his music. I don't just listen to it sometimes. I go down deep rabbit holes. You know, if there's stuff that you love and you get passionate about and you dig deep, I dig deep with music. And with Randy Newman, he's this guy that like, okay, so for the past like 4 months, right before my vacation, I was only listening to him. I couldn't listen to anything else. Have you ever been in that kind of cycle where you could only maybe read one author or listen to one kind of, I was stuck. I was kind of lonely. I was kind of scared about this new baby being born. I was kind of getting used to living here and being weirded out and trying to acclimate to being kind of new situation, all that. And I was being comforted by hearing the same voice on my headphones or on my speakers every day. And I was listening to Randy Newman literally every day. It's this raspy old voice plunking on the piano, and I was talking right in my ear, and I was like, I feel safe, I feel comfortable, I'm listening to Randy Newman. Perfect. I was driving my wife crazy, but that's okay. So went on vacation a couple months, last month, went back to California to see family. We go to the movies with my family and my extended family, my brother, his kids, me and my kids. We pull up to the movie theater in Los Angeles. We get out of the car. I look up. Who's getting out of his car? Randy Newman. Right there. Most of you wouldn't recognize him. He's just this kind of like old kind of schlubby dude hanging out, kind of gets out of his car, kind of bebopping around. I was like like a Tex Avery cartoon. My jaw dropped to the ground. My big eyes popped out. And I went, Krista, there's Randy Newman. She goes, go talk to him. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So he's going to the movies. I'm going to the movies. We had all the kids. We get the kids. I'm going to say, hi, Mr. Newman. Your music means a lot to me. I just want to thank you. So I'm going to say something. Now, you got to know this about me. If you don't already, I can talk to anybody. Like, I make friends with people in line at Disneyland, don't sit next to me on an airplane if you want peace and quiet. Living in LA, I used to walk up to people anytime. I didn't care. If I saw someone that I loved, I saw someone who I admired, I'd go up and talk to him. So we walk into the movie theater, and there he is, standing in the lobby, like this close to me. There's Randy Newman. Yeah. And I go, okay, and he's right there, and I think to myself, what if he doesn't want to talk to me? What if he just wants to be left alone at the movie? He's playing on his phone. What if he's like getting to the next level on Tetris? He doesn't need me to mess that up. What if I talk to him and he's a total jerk? What if he doesn't want anything to do with me and all I've done is ruin his day? What if it's a total disappointment? What if talking to him is a total disaster? What if it all falls apart and this guy that I've loved and admired for years, I can never listen to his music again because, and right when I'm thinking that, he walks up and starts to move towards me and then walks right past me and goes into his movie. And I just watched him walk. And then I did the sad walk all the way to my movie. I didn't talk to Randy Newman. I mean, literally, you can ask Krista, like, right after the movie. She was like, what'd you think of the movie? And I was like, I didn't talk to Randy Newman. I was starstruck. You ever been starstruck? I don't get starstruck much. I was starstruck. I was worried that it wouldn't live up to my expectations. I was worried that he wouldn't like me. I've had it played the scenario over in my head a million times. What do you say to the person you love and admire? We've all done that game. If you had three people, living or dead, you could invite to a dinner party, and then you go, oh gosh, what if I invited them and it was terrible? I think we get starstruck about God. I think we like to imagine the idea of being closer to God. I think we like to imagine the idea of living more deeply into that love life, into the love that is available to us in Jesus Christ. I think that we love the idea of being people who read our scriptures and digest it and get in it and know it really well. But I think when it comes right down to it, we get afraid of what it would mean for us to be face to face with God. Would we know the right thing to say to God? Would he want to have anything to do with us? Or would he be like, I'm just trying to get to the next level of Tetris. Please don't bother me right now. Would God actually want anything to do with us, accept us? Would he live up to our expectations? And so I think that we in our lives, our daily lives, are starstruck by God. Because make no mistake, God is present and visible in our lives every day. And I think that when we see God in the beauty of this world, in the eyes of someone we love, I think we get scared of what that means for us. And so we say, I'm no expert. I don't really want to get involved with this. I don't really know. And this is why what Jesus does in our lives is so miraculous. In Jesus, when we are starstruck by God, God walks up to us and engages in our lives. It's as if I was sitting there fumbling and Randy Newman had walked up and said, hey, I bet you're a big fan of mine. Let's talk for a few minutes. I'm like, oh, yes, let's, you know. Jesus is what happens when God says, you might be starstruck by the idea of coming closer to me. You might think you're not worthy, you're not ready, you're not able, and that it might be weird, it might be a disappointment, it might not all be right, but I am telling you to come closer to me. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to come close to you today, and I have to look at it or I'll mess it up. But today we heard the most powerful words that we can ever hear about who God is in Jesus Christ in our lives, because we stand there going, can it be that I can be in a relationship with the one who made me, and that that relationship could actually fill my heart and change my life and make me able to have better relationships and better connection with the people around me? I don't know, that sounds crazy. In that parable, there's these fish and they get picked up, and I'm going to be one of those fish that gets thrown away, and it's going to be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, and in the middle of my fear and in the middle of your fear and your neurosis, out comes this voice like a cry in the wilderness. But it's Paul, and he says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing is going to separate you from the truth of who God is, which means nothing's going to separate you from the truth of who you are. God is love. God is love, and you may be starstruck by that love, and you may not know how to deal with that love, and you may not know how to deal with yourself, but God knows what it means to be love, and God knows what it means to be in relationship in love with you. You may not be sure how to move forward, and you may not be sure what it looks like, but God knows what it means for us to want love, to need love, to desire and yearn for real connection, real belonging, real blessedness. And He is relentless in His love for you. Relentless. We will not be separated from this love. We don't need to be afraid. Jesus expects that we will all become experts in the God love life. And that doesn't mean that we'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll be flawless. It doesn't mean that we'll never make another mistake. It means that when we look at this world, when we look at our scriptures, when we look at our life with God and our lives with one another, we will look at it through the lens of the love from which we cannot be separated. We will look at this world through the lens of the truth that it is a blessed world that is redeemed by God. We will look at ourselves in the mirror, and instead of seeing all of our shortcomings and the weight that we've gained and the hair that we've lost and the pimple that we wish wasn't there and the money we wish we had in our pocket and the better life that we wish we had, instead of seeing all those things in the mirror, we look and we see belovedness and belonging and connection. You will not be separated from the love of God. And the more that you know that, the more that we are able to live into that truth, the more that we will all become scribes for the kingdom of God, which is to say, we, right here, we're going to become experts in the God love life. We're going to become masters of mercy and kindness. We're going to become people who know forgiveness, both being forgiven and forgiving. Have you understood all this? Jesus says. Yes. If you seek love, yes, you have understood it. If you believe that you belong to God, yes, you have understood it. If you believe that this world belongs to God, yes, you are scribes and experts who are going to go out into this world and love it. In the name of Jesus, love this world. And proclaim the love from which none of us can be separated.